Well, let's open our Bible to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64 is where we'll be preaching from this morning. Won't you listen carefully? And we'll be preaching on revival. That's what we're preaching this morning. And everybody is in need of revival. Everybody is in need of revival. Unless you're saved, then you're in need of a resurrection. But if you're not saved, every Christian needs revival. And my heart is burdened for this revival, maybe more than I've ever been burdened for revival, because I know the need. I know what is, let's just say we need revival. All right? Let's pray together. All right? Father, I come just now. And Lord, there is nobody like you. This is my story. This is my song. I can praise you all the day long for what you've done for me. You didn't just save me. You done that, and oh, how I thank you for that. But boy, what you've done these past 50, almost 51 years, 52 years. My, it's been wonderful. What you've done this week has been wonderful. What you've done this morning has been wonderful. And Lord, your blessings ain't way behind me. They're right all around me. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I'm weak. I'm unworthy. I know that. I'm unable to do anything. Lord, I thought of Brother Rick's teaching this morning. Lord, I make myself available, but I don't have nothing else to do. But here I am. Use me if you can. Use me if you will. And Lord, I pray this morning that you might cleanse my mind, my heart. Give me power that only you can give. Speak to every heart. May thy sweet Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Draw us to a place that you want us to be. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, I ask all this. And amen. Amen. I want you to listen carefully this morning and look at me just for a moment. We are not what we used to be. We're not. Think about that. And then we get saved, and now we're not what we used to be. Everybody still with me? We're not like we used to be as a nation. We're not like we used to be as a church. We're not like we used to be as an individual Christian. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. What's wrong? We need revival. We're in need. We need revival. That's what we need. We need a revival. Well, where do we need one at? Well, we need one down to house. You know, there's no need for me trying to have revival at the church house if I ain't going to have one down my house. All right? So if you're not planning on having one down your house, then you're not going to get one next week. Here, it ain't going to be here. You need to get things fixed down your house. Does anybody didn't understand that? We need revival. We need revival. We need revival in our church. We need revival everywhere we can get one. All right. We need revival, and you can have revival. Do you understand that this morning? You can have revival down at your house. Brother Clark said a mouthful there a while ago when he said about. God will forgive sin, but he won't forgive an excuse. You know, there's a lot right there. That was a message in itself right there. And if we go down and get on our face and repent to God and involve somebody other than us and God, we've already passed the buck. If I got to say I'm sorry and bring somebody else in the mix, then I'm trying to shift the blame. Because my sin's against God. Between me and him. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, if me and you got a problem, can I tell you it didn't start with you? Everybody look at me. If you got a problem with somebody else that walks this earth, that ain't where it started. It started with him. You got a problem with him. Because if everything's all right this way, all of it'll be all right this way. The Bible even says, we don't like the verse, but the Bible even says that we can live right enough that even our enemies will be at peace with us. What the Bible says. We don't, it's rare you ever hear that verse. Because it's our fault. You know? But we need revival. God's people need revival. But I look here in Isaiah, and you read Isaiah and Jeremiah and these prophetic books, and you'll find that Israel, God's people, if you would, carried away into captivity. Great comparison to God's people today, the church carried away into captivity. We're carried away in places we have no business being, held prisoner by things that we shouldn't be held prisoner of, whether it be the past or whether it be our lust or whether it be our desire, whatever it may be. We're held captive by a lot of things, just like the children of Israel were. Think about that. Things that we put ourselves in. You know, the Bible says when you come to Christ, whom the Son has made free, we're free indeed. But yet, for somebody to be free, we're the most bound up people that ever was.
You're right.
And that makes no sense when you're free.
Right.
It makes no sense to tie your own feet. It's like we tie our shoelaces together and try to walk with God. It just don't work, does it? Because all you do is constantly stumble. Is everybody still with me? When I read through Isaiah and I see God's work was in need of repair. I see that people were captive, and I see his work wasn't being done. The people was captive. We preached to you last Sunday night that they wasn't saying. All right, the work wasn't being done. There was no witness. There was no big flamboyant. Look who I am. I'm a child of the King. You know, there wasn't none of that. And then all through Isaiah and Jeremiah and the minor prophets, you'll find that God's people there were down. They were down spiritually. For somebody to have everything that we have, we're awful sad about it. For somebody that is forgiven of every sin, for somebody that has a mansion to go to, that has everlasting life, to a place that there's no hurt, pain, sorrow, disappointment, to have all that plus every need met in this life, we're awful sad about. It's almost like, man, I ain't got nothing to complain about. Huh? And is that not where we're at? Because we need revival. We need revival. Why do we need revival? Well, we just need revival. Now listen carefully. We'll preach here in just a minute. Now listen to me now. There's a disunity in God's people. There's a disunity in the church, God's people. Because we will not practice Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have thee that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee.
Yeah,
what the Bible says. I'm going to go preach you what the Bible says. All right. And when we're in the church house and we're offended in the church house, it shows we need revival. Yeah. Right. Evangelism or witnessing, when it is, and we'll just, you answer this question yourself, because it may not be the same for everybody, but when evangelism or you being a witness or me being a verbal witness is slow to non-existent. Might show I need revival. God's people have become worldly. We've compromised. We've become worldly into where the things that we used to stand against, we no longer stand against. The things we used not to take part of, we take part of. The things that we used to say was wrong, now we've had to back up because our loved ones and ourselves are found ourselves in it. So now we've changed our tune and we've become worldly and we've compromised the Word of God to get by because we don't like adversity, and that's the shape we're in. Amen. We've become not only worldly and compromised, we let the world dictate to us, set our standards, that we want to look like the world, act like the world, walk like the world, talk like the world, go where the world wants to go, do what the world wants to do, and then have God at the same time, and it don't happen. Don't happen. Don't work that way. It don't work that way. See, there's no such thing as modern revival. There's only Bible revival. Amen. No such thing as modern revival. Just Bible revival. God's people become liberal, to where now we condone sin. We condone wrong and liberal views. For a people who don't want to offend nobody, sure stay offended an awful lot. Do you know that? We don't want to offend nobody because of their sin. We don't want to offend nobody. Well, preacher, if you say anything, you'll run them off. Where are you going to run them off to? They're already in the world. Where are you going to run them off to? Chances are they're already going to hell. You're going to run them on. No, see, that's just a lie of the devil. All right? And people become liberal. Now, I said all these things because you say that's the cause of no revival. But that's not true. That's the result of no revival. Are you listening to me? The disunity in God's people and the slow or non-existence of evangelism in a church, or when God's people become worldly or have compromised the Bible or become liberal, that's not the cause of no revival, it's the result of no revival. Because had we be in revival, that would not be there. Okay? Because people don't get disunified if they're in revival. And people are willing to tell everybody they know about Christ if they're in revival. And people come out of the world if they're in revival. And people won't be liberal if they're in revival. You understand? So it's the result, not the cause. Everybody still with me? Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Now you can have revival this morning. You can have revival yourself. You can have revival at your house. You can have revival. We can all have revival here at the church. If the church won't, and if your neighbor won't, you can have revival in your Sunday school class. You can have a revival on your bus. Yeah. Huh? If that all fails, there's nothing that can keep you from having revival in your heart. Amen. If you want. Are we still okay? I'm going to read all 12 verses, then we'll go back and preach a little bit and let you go. Isaiah 64, verse 1 says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. And those in those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay. And thou art our potter. And we all are the work of thine hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Will thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore?" There's a lot in him, 12 verses. A whole lot in him, 12 verses. And there's no way that we could preach it all and get everything out of it in a week's time, in a week's preaching. But I was looking at a few things. We all right? If you want a title this morning, just simply this: we need revival. We need revival. How about we change and say, "I need revival"? How many would be willing to say out loud with me and repeat with me, "I need revival"? Can we say it right now? "I need revival." Now, it's so easy to say "we need" because we'll say, "Yeah, we need it. They need a little bit more than I do." But if we say, "I need revival. I need revival." Can we say it again? "I need revival." Now, let me remind you that we are not what we used to be. Think about that. We are not what we used to be before salvation. That's glorious. But it's sad that we're not what we used to be. Spiritually. We're not where we used to be. See, the themes of our church the last couple of years has exposed us. Last year's theme that we ought to love more in 2024, expose our heart. Because it exposed we didn't love one another. And we ain't fixed it. Amen, preacher. You're right. And then the theme this year is coming fully alive in 2025. Can I ask you, have you ever had any more adversity in 4 months of a year than you've had this year? Huh? Did you think it was going to be easy? But can I tell you, it's exposed us because we've been less alive the last 4 months than we have in 21 years. Are we still okay? Well, let's look. When we talk about revival, we're going to have to seek the Lord. Can anybody say amen to that? We're going to have to seek the Lord. Well, what part of the Lord are you seeking? When you seek the Lord, what part do you seek? Do you seek His hand? Or His face. Which part do you seek? Do you seek His hand for more? Or do you seek His face for presence? Look over to chapter 63. Verse 15. This is where we're satisfied with this. Look down from heaven. Isaiah 63:15. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me. Are they restrained? What are you going to give me? Look down. Give me something, God. We come to God like this. Wednesday night, Jensen, little Jensen, y'all know, it looks like my little clone. Little Jensen, I'm all time peeing him, and he won't have much to do with me. He'll wave, but he won't have that much to do with me. So Wednesday night, I was talking to LaDon, and he had seen me, and he watched me from the other side of the room downstairs, and he seen me. I had a piece of candy in my pocket. And he seen me put it in my mouth. A little bit later, he's there with LaDon, and he looked at me. And he come over and hit my pocket. I said, "What do you want?" I said, "Well, let's go ask Mommy." So I went over there, and Kenzie said, "Yeah." So I took him over there at the counter and got a can opener out of the drawer and busted up a peppermint, and I filled his pocket full of them little pieces of peppermint. That'd be good for Kenzie to wash his clothes. But I showed him how to get in his pocket and get that piece of peppermint. Now, we was the best buddies. Because I was handing candy. He didn't have no problem grabbing hold of my hand. I watched him the other day grab Brother Rick. And he didn't grab Brother Rick and get up on his lap and hug him and kiss him. He went toward the candy bowl in Rick's office. See, we call on God and seek on God and say, "God, come down and come near." But we want what's in His hand. We don't want to sit on His lap and hug on His face and kiss on His face and have the presence. We want what He's got in His hand. And that's why we don't have revival. Because we're not interested in His presence. But we're not going to have revival if we don't have His presence. First thing I want you to think about this morning is there is a presence that produces revival. It's in verse 1. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountain might flow down at thy presence." Oh, God, that you would come down.
Yeah.
That's revival. Do you want Him to come down? Now when He comes down, He's not coming down with His candy bowl. He's coming down with His eyeglass. He's coming down to look at you and to look at me and to look at you. He's coming down to fellowship. He's going to come down to take the dirt off of our face and the dirt off of our hands, that we might walk with Him and talk with Him. Oh, that you might come down, rend the heavens, tear everything apart, and come down to where I'm at. That's what it's going to take for revival. It's going to take His presence. That's the only thing that'll bring revival, is His presence. We got some people that's going to sing, and that won't bring revival. Can I tell you, we're going to pray, and that ain't going to bring revival.
Right.
Huh? We're going to witness, and that's not going to be the cause of revival. Revival will only come when He comes. Do you understand that? We've worked up meetings. We've worked up revivals. We've worked up services. If nothing else won't work, we'll sing an emotional song about an old blue dog that dies and get everybody crying. Then we'll say something about Jesus. Our hearts are so hard. We don't even cry over Calvary no more. Huh? And we'll work it up with a little something that'll make us pat our foot and get us going. Listen, if that's all you got, then you'll go to hell patting your foot. Huh? But we need God. Have you ever had God in your presence? You say, I got Him in my heart. But have you ever had Him in your presence? That you walk with God and talk with God and felt God squeeze you and love on you, and you love on Him, and nothing else in this world matters. That's revival. That's revival. It says here, the presence that produces revival, that He would come down. That He would come down. Look what it says. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire caused the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When He shows up, as we say, and I hate that word because the way we've coined it, and we've made it like we're, and I reckon in a sense it's true, we've made it like we got a pray in the Holy Ghost. That's not true. I got the Holy Ghost in my heart. And when I'm praying for God to come down, I want it. He did come down. He come down in Bethlehem. Pretty good ordeal there. He come down on the day of Pentecost. That wasn't a bad deal there. And He's coming back again on the Mount of Olives. That won't be a bad deal either. But why I'm talking about Him coming, when He's in full effect in your heart. Are you understanding me? Everybody with me this morning? But we coin that phrase when God shows up. Well, can I tell you, sometimes we get out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, there He is. Yes. It ain't because He just showed up. It's just because we had so much junk in the way.
Amen.
Huh? Have you ever been looking for something and you knowed it was there and you couldn't find it for all the junk?
Amen.
Huh? And after you got to, well, that's where He's at. Huh? Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
That's what revival is. We've got so much junk in the way. So much stuff. Huh? We're busier now than we've ever been. Doing nothing. Huh? Junk. Years ago, we're talking about 35 years ago, Tony Millay preached a message. Just thought of it. He preached a message on the junk drawer. Anybody here got a junk drawer at home? Hold your hand up if you got a junk drawer. He preached a message. I wish I could remember it. If I stayed here long enough, I could probably remember it. But I remember the junk drawer. And that's what he preached about, was that drawer. Usually everybody's got one in their kitchen. And it's got everything in the world. A button off of something you used to have. A top off of an ink pen. A broken pencil. Is that not true? Stuff. Wonder what this went to. A handle off the cabinet you had before you replaced the cabinets that you got. You know, just junk. It does nobody no good. But it takes up the space.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where we're at today. But it says here that the mountains will melt. What it says here in verse 1 and 2. Hang with me now. Talk to me if you're with me. And the mountains might flow. If the mountains flow, listen, if water flows off a mountain, that's the water flowing. But when the mountains flow, they're going to have to melt, ain't they? Can you agree to that? And when the melting fire burns, can I tell you, when that mountains melt, that's getting the obstacles out of the way. You know what our biggest problem is when it comes to revival? It's pride. The biggest hindrance that we have in our life is pride. Pride goes along with something you don't hear the word very often anymore, is bigotry. We're a bunch of bigots. Huh? Y'all know what a bigot is? Anybody here today know what a bigot is? It used to be popular in the 60s. Huh? When you was Archie Bunker was a bigot. Anybody here know who Archie Bunker was? Huh? He was a bigot because he was prejudiced. Well, can I tell you, that's what's in the church house today is righteous bigotry. That we're better than somebody else. That's what bigotry is. It's when you think you're better in a different color. That's where the term come from or was always used. But can I tell you, it's in the church house there. Our pride and our religious bigotry to when we think we're better than somebody else. And when you think you're better than anybody, I don't care who it is, when you think you're better, then God steps away. Because God's got you in the same box as they are. Are you hearing me? We're talking about I want revival. I need revival. We need revival, huh? Mountains will melt. But look here, what else it said? Verse 2. The fire caused the waters to boil to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When God's presence is real, let me say it like that and just saying it when God shows up, but when God's presence is real, the hindrances will be set aside, the pride will be set aside, the religious bigotry will be set aside, and sinners will shake. Where are they set? When God's presence comes in, it says the nation shall shake. When God's presence is real in the house of God, where there's revival, that the sinners will shake in their seat because of the presence of a holy God. And he said for us to be holy because he was holy. And when our life is holy like it's supposed to be, and we witness to a sinner, that sinner will get under conviction when we witness to him. And that sinner will cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Because of the holiness of God that is holy in me and you. Are you hearing me this morning? And the reason we can witness to someone and don't like water running off a duck's back is because we're a hypocrite. And we're not holy. We're self-righteous, righteous bigots, full of pride, envy, jealousy. Huh? And we're not holy. We may put on a holy costume. Huh? We'll put on the costume, but we're not holy. We still okay? I'm just talking about what the presence of God brings. It brings something else. Huh? Verse 5, drop down there, it says, "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth with work and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways." Can I tell you that the righteous will rejoice? There's rejoicing over righteousness. You know what we rejoice over more today than righteousness? Worldliness. We rejoice more over worldliness than we do righteousness. Are you listening to me? Are you thinking? Look at your life. Well, you say, "Well, I don't." Well, it may not be about you then. Be careful, bigot. Be careful. Huh? What do we rejoice over? It's going to take the presence that produces revival. It's going to take God's presence. Let's go on. I see you getting tired. The next thing I see, even though there's a presence that produces revival, there's a problem that prevents it. Everybody okay with me yet? Well, let's look here at verse 6. Can we read about verse 6? It said, but we... I hate to read this verse. Now, if I said, but you, it would be so easy for me to read. But it says, but we. That means I'm in that we. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Huh? See, the problem that we find here. Now, listen to me carefully. It's such a new thought. It's sin. It's the same thing that's rubbed us wrong all these years. Sin. Sin causes a problem. Are you hearing me this morning? There's a problem that prevents revival. Our righteousness are the best we got. The best we do, the closest we live is filthy rags. Been reading, trying to read about them filthy rags, and I do not, listen to me, I am not off-colored. I'm not trying to be off-color. I'm not trying to be dirty. I'm wanting you to see the seriousness of our sin. You'll never see how wrong we are until you see how bad the sins are that we do. Huh? These rags are the menstruous rags of the women. And the leper rags of the lepers. And the sick rags full of vomit. That's what them rags are. Everybody catch that? That's how bad our iniquities are. When God thinks about our sin, it's not how does he think about it. It's how do we compare about it. Well, if I compare my rags to your rags, mine might not stink as bad. But when I compare my rags with the holiness of God, then they're like the menstruous rags of the women and the leprous rags of the leper and the vomit rags of the sick and the blood rags of the wounded.
Yes.
Compared to a holy God. That's how one sin. You can't do one sin. For if you do one sin, you're guilty of every sin, the Bible says. Are you listening to me? And that prevents stuff. That prevents revival. Huh? I'm going to say something here. I want you to think about it. You're going to think hard here a minute. God will not, listen to me, God will not put away your sin in forgiveness if you're not willing to put your sin away by forsaking it.
Amen.
Can I say that again? God is not going to forgive your sin put it away, however you want to say it. He's not going to deal with it in forgiveness if you're not willing to forsake it. Now study on that. You say, well, he'll forgive me anyway. Find it. Chapter verse. Give it to me. And when you give it to me, I'm going to give you one where it says, he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin. Are we okay? We don't have much forsaken sin.
Yes, you're right.
It's, I'm sorry I got caught with my hand in the cookies. But just soon you turn your back, I'm going to get another cookie. In fact, you only have to turn your back. You can watch me just back off a little bit. And if I can get to them before you get to the jars, Jack, I'm going to grab it. That not right? That's how we do with sin. Huh? How many of y'all have had kids that will, if you tell them no, they'll do this? Don't touch that post. Anybody have you had any kids that done that?
Oh, yeah.
That's us.
Yeah, amen.
That's us. That's us. God, just look down and bless me. Hey, God, look down. Boy, wasn't that a good revival? I don't know. Very few of you know what revival is.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Revival will make you quit something and start something. Revival will make you quit living for the world and start living for the Lord. Revival will clean your house up. Hey, Brother Rick Vance, revival will clean your refrigerator out and put soda box in it, open, and keep it clean after you've done cleaning it with bleach. Huh? Rick Vance and Always Schumer sent me a text the other day, cleaning the refrigerator out. You know, I put out a message, we need to get ready for revival. He messaged me, you cleaning the refrigerator out. My old buddy, Rick Vance. Huh? You'd had to been here at the senior dinner a few months ago and heard him about cleaning the refrigerator. Are we okay? Listen to me. There's things that prevent revival. And it's our sin, our unrighteousness. Can I tell you that when our righteousness is filthy rags, what is our unrighteousness? Listen, when my good is the filthy rags. What's my bad? Are you listening to me? It says, but we are, in verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, that's our good, are as filthy rags. So the problem that prevents revival is our filthy rags. How about that? Our faithfulness fades as a leaf. Look here at the middle part of that verse. It says, and we all do fade us as a leaf. We're not what we was. Our faithfulness fades. And I'm going to say this, and you take it the way you want it, because it's going to be meant the way I say it. Okay? All right? We ain't got enough faithfulness to God to get us back on Sunday night. We fill up on Sunday morning. But when your glass is already full of the world, it don't take much to fill it on up. And it don't get us back on Wednesday neither. Used to! It used to. We used to come in our work clothes. We used to come in our coal mining clothes without a shower and put towels down on the seats.
Yep.
We used to come without a shower, without supper. I laughed. Somebody told me, I said, "Miss you." Well, I didn't get in till 6:30. Well, don't take you 5 minutes to get here. What was the problem? That's what I thought. I didn't say nothing. I didn't. You know, it's just one of them things. I just kept my mouth shut. But I thought, well, what all did you do? Where all did you have to go? You had 25 more minutes. Why don't you come dirty? You eat Ramson, come.
That's right.
Personally, I don't think they stink, but you'll eat Ramson, come. Oh, so what if you stink a little bit? So what if you got cold dirt on you? Who are you trying to impress? I'm just talking to you this morning. Listen, revival is because we need revival because we're not what we was. There was a time when God's house was priority. There was a time we didn't plan stuff on God's day. There was a time we didn't plan activities that kept us out of the house of God. We didn't worry about a ball. Hey, we didn't worry about all that. We worried about the house of God.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
We've let little Junior and little Sissy run everything because we pushed them into it.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And our faith has faded like a leaf. Just the way it is. I'm just telling you things that prevent revival. Huh? Can you not see how we faded? Our iniquities, it says in verse 6, has our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We done blowed away. We done blowed away. You watch the leaf. Watch the leaves blow in the fall. Watch them this spring. How many blowed leaves this spring? Cutting grass. Got them out of your flower beds and around the edges and stuff. And the leaves just blow. Pretty soon they'll be gone. You forget that they were there. I'm talking about things that prevent revival. We still okay? Y'all still love me? I love you. Huh? There's a presence that precedes revival. There's a problem that prevents revival. Huh? Now, we got to look on, verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Are you willing or have you been taking time to get stirred up enough to grab hold of the Lord? Have you been looking? When Brother Rick Vance texted me that, I said, my answer to him was, yes, when about cleaning out my refrigerator, and I don't like what I found. Have you ever opened up your refrigerator and you smelled something? But it wasn't good. And you, whew. Anybody ever done that? And then shut the door. Has anybody ever done that? You smelt them, but you shut the door. You didn't take the time to find out what was stinking. And your comments are, I got to clean that out. And you get busy doing something else. We need revival. We need revival. Gotta hurry. I'll let you go here. Hang with me now. The third thing I'll give to you right quick, verses 8 through 12, is there's a prayer that precedes. There's a presence that produces. There's a problem that prevents. And there's a prayer that precedes revival. Let's look at it here. Verse 8. And now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. when we come to God, we're going to have to pray in submission. Huh? God, it's you, it ain't me. I'm just the clay. Everybody understand that? You're my father. You're the father. I'm not the father. I'm the child. You're the father. You're the father. I seen somebody sent me a cartoon. And this is no throw on nobody or nothing. I didn't see this today or anything like this. Ain't a throw on nobody. But a little boy, he come home and he had an earring in. I think that's what it was. Let me think. And he wanted to be, he said, I wanted to look older. And his daddy said, okay. So he cut all of his hair off, shaved it, just left around like boys. And he said, you want to look older? Now you look a lot older. We're not the father. But we sure tell him how to do it. There's nothing more irritating than somebody that don't know try to tell you how to do something that you know how to do. Is there anything more irritating than that?
No.
I mean, how many times? I know! Just leave me alone. How many times? I probably told you this, Micah. Last fall, Micah and Marcus and them come in. We squirrel hunted and Landon. And I took Micah and Landon. And Landon killed a squirrel, finally. And so we got it. We got home. They wanted to skin. I said, okay. Micah says, I know how to skin it. I said, you do. I said, now, how many squirrels have you skinned? He said, I ain't never skinned one. I said, I've probably skinned a couple thousand. You reckon I know? He said, I watched the video. Wait on it. I said, okay, professor. That's what I call him now, professor. I said, all right, professor, how would you do it? And he started, I said, whoa. I said, that's not how you do it. I watched the video. So I grabbed it and skinned it, and there about 15 seconds it was skinned. And he, never seen nothing like that. And I said, now. He said, you want me to gut it? And I said, no, I'll gut it. And I gut it. He said, that ain't the way the video show. That remind you when you pray? That remind you when you're trying to get God to get it done? And do you ever wonder if he just looks at this? I've done this before. I'm God. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I understand. I'm made. I know how to do it. But we don't do it like that. We're not submissive. We won't come down to where he's the father and we're nothing but clay. Huh? We okay? And then it goes on verse 9. Be not wroth, very sore. O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Can I tell you, there's two things we're going to have to learn to pray for revival. And that's, we're going to have to be in submission. And the only thing we can ask for is mercy. Because we deserve nothing. And we're going to have to ask for mercy that he don't give us what we deserve. Are you hearing me? Well, I could go on. I don't think there's no need. He goes on and says, we remember how it used to be. We remember the house. Remember the house where the praise was. That's what it goes on to say there. We remember the house where praise. I remember, Lord, how it used to be. Me and Roger, Brother Roger Gerber, was talking out yonder before church outside welcoming people. And I'm not trying to tell you I know everything. I just know what I've seen. I told Roger, when I growed up, I never heard of a weak revival. Never heard of one. it was always 2-week revival. When he had revival, it was always 2-week revival. When Carolyn told me at Mount Lookout years ago, they turned the public school out and you had morning services and evening services. That they wouldn't even have school for revival. Because it was more important than anything.
Right.
We'll miss school to go on vacation, and we'll miss school to go play a ball game. But, or should I say, we won't miss school to go play, but we'll miss church to go to it. We're backwards.
Yes.
Listen to me. How many's been in an 8-week revival? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. 5 of us been in an 8-week revival every night. 8-week revival. Huh? Anybody here been in a 12-week one? Huh? Anybody here been in a 3-week one? Huh? Other than the other. Three weeks. 4 or 5 more hands. Yeah. 3-week revival. I've been in a 4-week one and it wasn't even revival. It was just a Saturday night fellowship service and it went like one night being 4 weeks. What I'm trying to tell you tonight or this morning is, listen, we need God. And God makes the difference. And God makes the difference in your life this morning. And we need more than revival. Some of you need the Lord because you're lost. Some of you need God because you're lost, you're going to hell. You don't know what it is to be forgiven. You don't know what it is to have eternal life. You don't know what it is to know Christ in your heart. You've played it in your head, but you're not saved. And you need saved this morning. Sure, go to pen. You need that. But then us that are saved this morning, man, we need revival. We need stirred, man. We need moved and changed and the presence of God. We need it where God is all that matters again. God's not all that matters anymore. You say, well, yeah, but that's the way them old folks done. They didn't have anything. They didn't need nothing else. He was enough. All these other things have replaced God because God was not enough for everybody. So they found things to replace Him with. But when He's enough, when if ever take everything else away and He's enough, when we can sing the song, take my house, take my land, take my health, take my children, that all I need is you, then maybe we'll say, yeah, I know what revival is. This is why you don't see young people shout. It's why you only see old people shout. Because He's always been enough. But the young have been taught to replace Him. The young have been taught that there's stuff and there's things. Put your hand down. Live like hell, but keep your hand up. You'll drop a little bit in your hand as you go by. Don't worry about your life. Just stick your hand up. It ain't like that. Because we're watching our young people drift away. We're watching our young couples drift away. We watch Him get caught away in false doctrines and other beliefs because God is not enough. I'm telling you this morning that He's a plenty. And oh, that He would rend the heavens. That He would rend the heavens and sit down amongst us. We would repent of our sins. Come to God, faith believing again that your God. I'm clay. I'm a ball of dirt. But you're God. And I'm going to love you and trust you and live for you. And you do as you want to do with me and mine. Huh? Would you stand with me this morning? And and answer the question, how many of you want revival? Find your place around this altar if you truly want revival. If you truly want revival, find your place around this altar and call on God. You truly want God to change your life, to move on your life. Won't you come and find your place? Oh God, that you might rend the heavens, that you might rend the heavens. Oh, we got to have the Lord tonight, today. We need Him now. We need Him now, and you're not saved this morning. Oh, you ought to come and get saved. You've got needs in your life. You've got things going on in your life that you got to have God. Oh, you need to walk with God. You need to talk with God. God needs to do a work in you. You need to come this morning and humble yourself down before the mighty hand of God. God, speak, oh God. Speak to us as only you can. Help us, oh God. Rend the heavens. Come down, oh God. Forgive my sin. Let me walk with you again. I remember how it used to be. Let me walk with you again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sing right.